morning and welcome to Coffee with the Coder. We're so happy to have you join us Monday morning, February the 13th. For this episode, we've got some great questions. The first ones are going to come from an inpatient rehab. And Paula Digby has joined us to answer the questions. And I don't know if she has someone else on the line or not, but we'll find out that in just a moment. Paula, good morning. You're not muted, Paula.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had you muted on my side. Yes, I'm here this morning, and thank you again for joining us. It's just me today, I believe. I may have a couple of our staff on the line with us, but it's just me talking today. When you send in your questions, just let me let everybody know this. We have a staff that work on answering those questions for you, and then I'm just the face that delivers the end question. So you actually do have several people looking at the questions. So we do welcome you to continue sending in your questions. We do enjoy them very much.
Yes, we do. And there have been some great ones come in. In fact, we have more than we can actually address in 10 minutes this morning. So I just picked the best ones and, well, the first ones. I won't say the best ones because I don't really judge that. But at any rate, we'll have some more for 2 weeks from today. Let me just jump right into a question from Angie on the IRF situation. She says, I've been told that the coding summary, which is completed by the coder, and the case report, case codes report from the IRFI would be different because the case codes report cannot have codes from the last 48 hours of the patient's stay, and the coding summary has codes for the entire rehab stay. And first she says, is it correct? And she says, then if it's correct, should the UB only have codes from the case codes report? Or can it also have codes from the coding summary that are not on the case codes report? So it's kind of like two questions.
Okay. Well, yes, if I understand your question correctly, yes. The IRF-PI and the UB-04 do not necessarily have to match. And in many, many occasions, they won't match, particularly when we're talking about those stroke cases and those cases where there are injuries are causing the need for rehab. That's where you'll have those situations where they don't match, you know, almost 100% of the time. And also when there are conditions that are recognized only in the documentation on the day of or the day preceding discharge, those conditions, as you stated, they're not reported on the IRF-PI, but they are reported on the claim form. So absolutely correct. And let me just go back and tell you real quickly on the stroke case, for example, on the UB-04 claim form, the reason the patient's here or the principal diagnosis is typically that hemiplegia that the patient is dealing with after the fact. But on the IRF-PI, that etiologic diagnosis, if you will, would be something like the acute stroke, which caused the need for rehab. And then when we get into more of the fractures, you have, you know, seventh character issues, such as, you know, when do you report the A versus the B, C, or D, or when conditions are reported as a sequela. So, but in any case, what I'm telling you is, yes, they don't have to match 100%, and in many cases, they won't match.
Thank you, thank you. Well, we still have another one from the IRF setting. This was from Bev. She says, our coders are coding something that is resolved on the UB, but they won't remove it based on the PPS assessment and documentation. Oh, I'm sorry. I read the wrong question. This one's from Carmen. This is a very short question. I haven't mixed. So let me try that again so I'm not confusing people. The coders are coding something that is resolved on the UB, and they do not remove it based on the PPS assessment and the documentation. And Carmen wants to know if that's the way you should do it.
Yeah, I think, didn't she give us a scenario? With that,
is that what that question was? Okay, I may have
yes,
sure
yes.
I apologize. I did share the questions with Paula so they could be addressed. Okay, here is the scenario. Mr. B came to the IRF on January the 6th at 5:30 in the evening and was discharged to the ICU on January the 8th at 11:56 in the morning. Since he was here for such a very short time, a very short stay, she says, and there is very little documentation for rehab. Some of this you're going to, this is acronym, so PMR, HP, and renal only. I spoke to my manager and the other PPS coordinators to make sure we can only code for the documentation on the rehab side. I really appreciate your help as I don't want to get this kicked back, and I do want to get it off of my desk because it's Medicare pay. And then she lists a couple things, some diagnoses, K648, other hemorrhoids. This was documented after discharge in ICU. I may need help on this one. K254, chronic gastric ulcer with hemorrhage. The ulcer was cauterized on 1-2. Would that be resolved?
Okay, actually, Carmen, and the PMR HP is you know the PM&R doctor, which is the physical medicine and rehab doctor. That's what that acronym was. And then the HP would be HMP, and the renal physician only were the ones that documented, it sounded like, in that rehab encounter. So actually, coding guidelines only allow us, Carmen, to report those conditions that are treated, impacting treatment, extending the length of stay, or utilizing a resource. And those would be the ones reported on the UB and on the IRF-PI, even though some of the specificities are different between the two documents. For the UB, conditions that are resolved are not reported unless they are reported as a historical condition based on the coding rules, so such as you might see a Z code for history of this or that. My question here really is, what is the physician documenting about the gastric ulcer and the hemorrhage? Now, you may realize that the etiologic diagnosis can be a resolved condition, such as we talked about with the stroke. If the patient was there in rehab for the gastric ulcer and the hemorrhage, but it was repaired, it's no longer existing, that condition would be the etiologic on the IRF-PI, but on the UB04, you're going to have an aftercare for surgery code, you know, if, of course, there was surgery that was performed. Sometimes physicians, though, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything new, they document conditions that are resolved as though they're current, and they document current conditions as though they're resolved. So they might list them in, you know, history of category, a past medical history category, and if it is a condition that is not a chronic condition, oftentimes our coding rules will say, you know, don't report it, because unless you see that treatment is tied to it, then you can't prove that that condition actually still existed. Queries are often helpful, but, you know, not always. Sometimes those queries are not answered clearly, or they're not, you know, stated clearly, so we don't get full information. But I would heavily recommend, and I know this is just one question, but I'm expecting you probably have many others like this, having a clinical documentation improvement staff involved would be likely be very helpful to, you know, start to educate the physician on, you know, what he or she needs to document, and really be clear about associating treatments to diagnoses so that we know when a condition is existing and the coder is then reporting that more appropriately, or, you know, with a clear, I guess I would say with a clear record to support it. And although in this case, because it was a short stay, remember we can't report those last 2 days on the IRF-PI, but since it was a short stay, revenue would not have been impacted. Basically, the codes that were listed on the H&P would be the ones that would be reported, you know, unless the doctor said something later and said this was present at the time of admission. So, you know, I just want to make sure I'm clear about that. Really, for the physician to state the details of what conditions exist, that's the key here.
Excellent, excellent, because it's always about what the physician states.
right,
now let's move
right.
over to a question in the hospital setting. And this question is from Rosemary. She says, one of our coders at the hospital doesn't want to code hyperglycemia on a diabetic when the progress note states DM 133 max mild hyperglycemia, and the discharge summary states diabetes type 2, no significant treatment necessary, diet control, not on any oral agents, blood sugars. Essentially normal. Is that right?
I would say a physician query would be in order here if those values are questionable. Again, the coders cannot make a decision based on a lab value. And it sounds like he may have had conflicting information in the record. You know, he might say, you know, for that patient that 133, you know, is a hyperglycemic episode for the patient. But then at discharge, it sounded like, you know, he was saying, you know, everything was fine, it was controlled, there's no problem. So, you know, coders can't look at, I mean, they can look at the lab values, but they can't make a decision based on, you know, assigning a diagnosis code, you know, just because a value is high, we can't say hyperglycemia. And it sounds like in this case, the documentation may have been conflicting, not just in the two statements that you provided, but throughout, and the coder may have been confused as to whether the condition existed. Now, if this were an IRF, I know those other two questions about IRF were about IRF, but if this was an IRF encounter, it would be very important to get that, because that hyperglycemia in a diabetic patient would give you additional reimbursement opportunities. So it would be very helpful to query the physician in that case.
Right. Okay. Well, we're right at 10 minutes, so I'll try to squeeze in one more because Rosemary actually had a second follow-up question. Another one of her coders doesn't want to include code Bell's palsy from the H&P because it is documented as a past medical history and not as a current condition. Of course, some of the other coders do code diagnoses and comorbid conditions identified as past medical history. So which is correct?
Well, Rosemary, again, there are specific rules that coders must follow, and only conditions that should be coded as current are the ones that are identified as current by the physician. And, of course, you know, what we were just talking about with those medical records, electronic records, particularly when we have carry forward of information, it often causes confusion about when conditions exist. Conditions that are listed as historical are coded as history of if there's relevance to the encounter and there's a code to identify it. Since Bell's palsy can go away just as easily as it came, you know, it wouldn't be reported as current if it were listed as a historical condition. So it's different than, you know, a person having congestive heart failure or COPD. Those conditions don't go away. And, you know, where we might not be able to report the type or the, you know, exacerbation or status of those conditions, it's very clear and evident. And, you know, our coding rules allow us to report them when they're stated as history of because they do exist. But now here's a caveat here. We don't want to tell the docs, say history of sometimes, don't say history of other times. So best practice really is to educate those docs to document conditions as current and leave off the status words of history of if the patient is still receiving treatment for those conditions. And associate the treatment to the conditions. This will go very, very, very far in helping the coder to understand and know what to report.
And clear communication is always a good choice, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for this episode of Coffee with the Coder. We'll see you in 2 weeks on Monday, February the 27th.
And don't forget to send in your questions.
Yes.